In the name of Jesus. Genesis 2:25, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Before the fall, Papa Adam and Mama Eve were naked and unashamed. After all, they had nothing to hide from God and from each other. They had no sin. They were totally and utterly innocent. They were perfect. They could look at each other and see nothing but good. A gift from God, a spouse to have and to hold from that time forth and even forevermore. But all that changed, didn't it, in Genesis chapter 3. Everything went south fast. Genesis 3, verses 6 and 7. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Before this moment, Papa Adam and Mama Eve only had the knowledge of G-O-O-D, good. But when they rebelled against their Creator, against the Most Holy God, evil was unleashed into this world. Their eyes were opened to their sin, to their ruptured relationship with God and with each other, to the death they deserved to die. They were naked and ashamed. And so they made fig leaves to try and cover their nakedness, trying to hide their shame, hoping that this would give them peace, peace with God, peace with each other, that this would right all of their wrongs, that this would make everything hunky-dory once again. Nope, not by a long shot. Doesn't work like that. God calls out to them, and his voice sends a chill down their spines. They make a mad dash in the opposite direction. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Why did Papa Adam and Mama Eve play hide and seek with God? Why? Well, let me tell you why. They went where no creature was ever supposed to go. They went beyond the word of God, trespassing God's holy law. Now his word accused them, condemned them, haunted them, especially these words: in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. All they felt was God's wrath crushing them, beating them up, attacking them from each and every side. Now they had fear of God. They were afraid of him. They thought he was out to get them, out to punish them, out to give them the condemnation that they deserved. But he does no such thing. Oh, sure, he doles out the curses to Papa Adam and Mama Eve and, of course, slithery serpent Satan. But then he shifts it into gospel mode, doesn't he? He upgrades their wardrobe. Genesis 3:21. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. These skins came at a great cost, a bloody sacrifice. After all, the covering for sin and shame requires the death of another, a substitute, an innocent one. There's really nothing pretty, nothing cheap about this. God covering his people is a bloody, bloody, bloody business. But the clothing he gives us is salvationally necessary. Now, what we learn from Papa Adam and Mama Eve is that this do-it-yourself approach to clothing, it doesn't work. It's not enough. We can't really hide our sin from the one who sees absolutely everything. Just like the writer of Hebrews reminds us. Hebrews 4:13, "And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes to whom we must give account." Sure, we can go ahead and try to cover ourselves with our self-chosen works, our piety, our holiness, our charity, our mercy, our compassion, our German Lutheran heritage. Oh, sure, we can try to stitch together a few acts of kindness, so on, some heartfelt devotion, tack on some prayer, pious prayer and praises. But in our endeavor to cover our sin and shame, it will never, ever be enough. It can't be enough. It'll never be enough. Anything we do amounts to nothing but dirty rags. As the prophet Isaiah reminds us, Isaiah 64:6, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment." Sin must be covered with skin. Sin must be covered with skin. That's what we see the moment sin enters this world. Now, we don't know what kind of animal skin God uses in the Garden of Eden. We don't know. But most people seem to think that he used lamb's skin. There's good reason for that. What does J-Bab John the Baptist say as he points his bony finger at Jesus? John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is good news because animal skin could never, ever be enough. It could never, ever get the job done. As the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 10:4, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Animal skin can't cut it. I mean, no animal could ever be a perfect substitute for a human being. For you, for me. Thanks be to God that He delivers the good. He gives us the skin that we need. Behold the Lamb of God, who is not really a lamb, but rather a man. The God man. Behold God with skin. So, what does this God with skin allow? He lets his skin, that is without spot or blemish, be beaten and bloodied, railed and nailed. Behold the man who suffers in your place and in mine. Behold the man who answers for Adam's nakedness and your nakedness and mine. Behold the man, naked and unashamed, for he has no sin of his own. Behold the man lifted high upon the cross so that he can bear your sin and mine, all of it. Those sins that you tried to hide from others, those sins that you excuse and blame others for, those sins that you forget about and just have put out of your memory, those sins that make you blush, those sins that you totally and utterly regret, all of them on Jesus. Name it. Name the sin. The sin of the world hangs there on the cross with that God-man. Jesus, naked, suffering, bleeding, dying for you and for me. Behold the man who is stripped but naked so that he can clothe us in skin, his skin. As Pastor Paul tells us in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." In holy baptism, God is still in the clothing business. wrapping us in the flesh of Christ, clothing our sin and guilt and shame in Christ's righteousness and holiness and innocence and perfection. Dear friends, the Father, he looks at us and he says, those fig leaves are foolish. Get rid of them. Trash them. Throw them out. I have something better for you. Try this on. Yeah, now we're talking. Now you're dressed to the nines. Now you're looking like $1 million. Now you look like my son, in whom I'm most well pleased. Dear friends, put on Jesus every single day. When you get up in the morning, you get dressed, remember your baptism. Wear Jesus. Put him on daily. Wrap yourselves in all of his benefits. Be warmed by his forgiveness. Be comforted by his love. Be protected by his power and strength. Be preserved by his grace, both now and forevermore. Behold the man who is our garment of salvation. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.